Thank you. As human beings, we rely a great deal on the testimony of our five senses. We really do. We look to these faculties for interpretation concerning our world and everything in it. This is our method of coming to know, of becoming aware in a certain way. And this is important. You see, when we become aware of something, we gain understanding that allows us to form opinions and beliefs, reaching conclusions that, well, may or may not be correct. The thing is this, we base our view of life on our personal experience, our background, our talents, and our achievements. While this is helpful, it limits us to that little space we call our own backyard. Now, I think that we can all agree that life is far greater than what takes place in our backyard, or what even happens to us in an individual way. We are urged to reach beyond our personal understanding and our experience. So we may begin by looking around us and we notice how others form their opinions and their beliefs. As we study the phenomena of coming to know and becoming aware, we eventually go beyond the testimony of the five senses. We even go beyond noticing what others do. We discover that much of our understanding is based on perception and observation. It's not so much what the human eye beholds, but rather it is how we perceive it. Now, perception is a faculty that goes far deeper than the five human senses. Perception allows us to see with discernment and with insight. It draws us conclusions from a broader view of life, one that goes beyond the personal, beyond the individual. It takes us out of that space that makes up our own backyard. It observes from the universal, from that place where time and space cease to exist. Now, when we lift our eyes above our human comprehension, we discover that life reveals itself as sensing and knowing, an awareness that goes beyond anything the human thought can imagine or even invent. You know, it's as if we opened ourselves to a wealth of information that we did not even know existed. Well, yes, this is exactly what we have done. You see, when we lift our attention from the experience of the individual and enter that realm of the universal, we leave this world of material form. And it's at that time we have our first glimpse of what it means to say, I am in this world, but I am not of it. And we find ourselves declaring, now I see. Let us never be satisfied with the testimony of the five senses. They behold with the judgment of human awareness. And then let us not forget the work of the mental realm of existence. You know, that aspect of us that thinks and reasons, but always as the individual. You see, over the years, we may have given a great deal of power to the work of thought. And of course, it was always our thought that mattered the most. But how many times have we relied on our thoughts to come to our rescue, only to discover that they are not as reliable as we had thought they were? What about our ability to remember things, recalling information when it is needed? Yes, the work of thought on the mental realm is very interesting, but we have also noticed its limitations. For instance, we might find ourselves standing in the kitchen, and we suddenly remember there's something that we wanted to get in the living room. So we take ourselves into the living room, only to discover when we arrive that we have no clue as to why we even went into that room. Even though 1 minute ago, maybe even 1 second ago, we have purpose and intent, but at that moment, we could not remember what it was. How many times have you called somebody on the telephone, only to discover when they picked up, you really couldn't remember why you called them in the first place? Well, I think we can all relate to those times when our thought slash memory failed to come to our rescue. And we had to ask ourselves the question, why am I willing to rely on something I cannot even depend on? And then even when I think that I have thought everything through, when I'm certain I have considered absolutely every angle available, there are still those times when I reason incorrectly, and I am forced to admit that once again, my wonderful reasoning faculty has let me down. Now, all of this can be disturbing to the discerning individual. After all, if they cannot depend on themselves, then whom can they trust? If we cannot trust our experience, our background, our wit, and our charm, then how do we get along in the world? Well, it is time for us to consider the realm of discernment. It is time to lift our eye of perception above the individual to the universal, living from that place that senses and feels beyond human understanding. There is a self that we can trust, but it is not that self that wears the garment of humanhood as its reality. No, we are asked to leave this identity behind before we can declare with conviction, now I see. This is the revelation of spiritual discernment. All of us are familiar with the Bible story that tells us of those trials and tribulations suffered by Job. Those who have taken the Old Testament Bible class in this church have discovered the deeper meaning of this experience. Through his time of testing and trying, Job eventually came to his time of confession and acceptance. He was able to declare to the Lord, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye seeth thee. His eye of perception revealed that God is, and beside him there is none else. His pronouncement was, now I see, meaning now I get it. As individuals, we continue to contemplate the method of coming to know, and the approach to becoming aware. When we consider our view of life, we test and we try. And just like Job, there are times when we think that we have gotten it, only to discover that we're not quite there yet. But the time of testing and trying does bring results. We discover what works and what doesn't work. We have read of the ability to live our life according to spiritual perception and discernment that go beyond human understanding. And intellectually, we get it. But when we try to get something intellectually, it is still working with thought. Thought gives attention to where we want to be, but we must leave it on the doorstep before we can enter that place where we want to be. That place where we give no thought. That place where we perceive, sense, and feel from inner being. Now, intuitively, we feel that it was in that place of inner being where Job was able to affirm, "Now I see." It was from that place of inner being where Moses was able to declare, "I am that I am." And then it was from that place of inner being where Paul was able to say, "I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth me." And finally, we get it. We too must be in that place of inner being in order for us to say, "Now I see," meaning, "Now I really get it." We understand this is not even a matter of becoming aware or coming to know. You see, the activity of becoming and unfolding means we are still doing the work assigned to the individual. Universal awareness reveals we already are what we want to be. Contained in our spiritual DNA is everything necessary to allow us to be in this world, but not of it. Our attention now is drawn to being rather than becoming, to declaring and affirming rather than wishing and hoping. Our focus now belongs to that one of inner being. This is the self that we can trust and rely on. So let us now contemplate what our life would be like if we were to live from that state of consciousness. Well, first of all, we would find us moving out of the phase of the individual into the state of universal awareness. The self, the one of inner being, beholds the indwelling presence as omnipresent, omnipotent, and omniscient. Furthermore, it knows itself as one with the life that abounds in all places, available to the consciousness that is receptive to its wisdom, its knowledge, and its understanding. We sense and we feel that this is so. But as always, the challenge for us is to live from that place of inner being, to find existence in the realm of spiritual consciousness. And I do consider this a bit of a challenge because, remember, even though we are receptive to that inner presence, we still have existence in that physical garment, the one that is necessary for this world experience. There will be times when we are tempted to return to the old ways of becoming and affirming that we are that, to the old views we trusted and relied on. At the time of spiritual discernment, we were able to say, "Now I see." But at other times, that I may grow a little dim. We affirm that God is in this place. We come to church on a Sunday morning and we sing the hymns that praise God as a God of all ages. And then we ask Him to open our eyes so that we may see. And in our heart of hearts, we feel sincere in our declaration and petition. But tomorrow, well, that may be another matter. We may wake up in the morning and discover that we have a financial obligation, one that we are not quite sure we will be able to meet. But then we remember, God is in this place. And we go to Him informing Him about our financial problem. We might even mention the dollar amount required to meet the need. Now, if we truly believe that God is an all-knowing God, then we must also admit that he already knows about our needs. In fact, the Bible tells us so. We read, "Before they call, I have already answered." Meaning that in the beginning, God created a finished kingdom, and contained in his house is everything necessary to meet our needs. We are also told that the kingdom is spiritual. It's not of this world. What is contained in God's house is spirit. We must stop thinking of God's kingdom as containing money, cars, houses, artwork, or jewelry. God's spiritual kingdom does not contain material goods. When our need is money, God does not go to a vault or a lockbox in his kingdom and pull out the cash. If our need is transportation, God does not go to a spiritual car dealership, a spiritual railroad, or an airport to find it. A creator creates or brings forth through an activity that proceeds from the inner to the outer. God's creative activity proceeds from his spiritual kingdom, expressing in whatever material form is necessary at the moment. When the inner activity expresses in a material world, it appears as form. When Jesus was faced with those 5,000 hungry people, he turned to his Father, which art in heaven, acknowledging the creative activity that would meet the need of the moment. Now, he did this because he knew it was God's responsibility to act in this way. Jesus' consciousness was the avenue through which the activity of God would be made manifest, bringing into visibility the loaves and the fish multiplied beyond their original value. To get to that place where we can say, "Now I see," we must consider our attitude concerning prayer. We pray to hear the voice of God, and that is the only reason. To some, this may be audible, but for most of us, I dare say it is really a matter of inner sensing and knowing. We read that God is not in the whirlwind. God is in the still, small voice. When we hear the voice of God, when we feel his presence, we know we are not alone. When we leave the face of the individual, we are able to release all that belongs to the individual. Living in God's presence, we will not fear the lions and the tigers, the storms, the tornadoes, and the hurricanes. We will not fear what others have to say about us, how they treat us, or what they even think about us. The psalmist tells us about the dwelling place of the Most High. Nothing will come nigh our dwelling place if our dwelling place is of the Most High. And this is the cry of the sincere individual. Speak, Lord. I want to hear your voice. I want you in my life as the constant reminder of how it was when I lived in your house, that time before I pressed out and took form to experience a material existence. The prayer of recognition affirms what already is. To claim God as omnipresent, omnipotent, and omniscient includes all. The one who lives as an individual, he is the one who separates and divides. The thing is this, once we have attained even a small degree of understanding concerning the truth of us, we can put it into practice. Now it is true that we might not yet be able to say with conviction, "Now I see." The way of progression, the way of unfoldment is usually accomplished in bits and pieces. Simply stated, we live what we know. As we go about our daily activities, let us acknowledge that God is in this place. Going to the office, to the store, to the opera, or the bank, the recognition is God is in this place. Our new attitude of prayer allows us to keep our ear open, our inner ear, the one that is receptive to and hears that still small voice. And then there is the eye divine, that spiritual self that perceives beyond human comprehension. It is this discernment that allows us to give the word that comforts our fellow man, inspires the one that needs to be lifted out of his need. Remember, it's not the personal ego of the little self that does these things. No, these words, deeds, and actions, they are given to the one who has entered the place of the Most High, the one whose eye is stayed on God, that one who has heard that still small voice and then obeyed its command. I think this is our purpose and our mission on this earth plane, to be a light unto the world, to be of service to our fellow man, to be the avenue through which God's work is done on earth as it is in heaven. And of course, before we become the transparency through which God may do the work, we must first come to our time of confession and acceptance. Just like Job, we must reach that place where we may say, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye seeth thee. How long does it take? How long will it take us to get to this place? Well, it's all up to us. How soon can we release that old way of thinking? How long will it take us to go beyond the testimony of those five senses? Who knows? We cannot measure spiritual growth, nor can we assign time to a place where it does not exist. I do know one thing. We are eternal beings, and we have eternity to get it right. And I suppose we could take our good old time doing this, but why would we want to do that? Why would we want to delay our good? The abundant life, it's available now. Why would we not want to live it now? I think this is a good question, but it is one that each of us is going to have to answer for ourselves. This morning we have the opportunity to open our eyes and behold the presence that dwells in us. Would you join me now in our closing meditation. As we close our worship service, we find this in a place of serenity. We've heard the message, God is here. Lift up your eyes and behold only Him. In the stillness of the moment, we listen with the inner ear. That still small voice, it speaks with the power of thunder. Truth reveals that we are the beloved child of God. It is Him who hath made us, not we ourselves. God sent us forth to bear witness to His presence, to serve as His light unto the world. Go forth, preach the gospel of truth that applies to all mankind. We are not merely mortal man, that one of dust. We are the one of eternal life, spiritual being, our nature divine. As we begin a new week, let us go often to this place of serenity, this place of peace. We are alone with God in the sanctuary of our own soul's awareness. Our sanctuary is our quiet place of inner being, and it goes with us as our state of consciousness. Let us be still this morning and know that this is so. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his light to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Turn within and acknowledge him so that he may lift your consciousness and give you his peace. Amen.